It's a movement, but it's about people. Be the People is about we the people joining forces to reclaim and reshape the best of our nation's time-treasured traditions. Each week, we offer insightful interviews with movers and shakers from all different spheres of life. And now, please welcome Dr. Carol Swain.
Young people are often seekers of truth, and they are quick to notice contradictions between religious doctrines, lifestyle choices of believers, and science. Many of them fall away from the faith and become secularists. In this episode of Be the People, I interview an amazing young woman who grew up in a multi-generational Mormon pioneer family. As a member of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, Carrie Sheffield romanticized the Mormon Church's worldwide missionary achievements. But she raised many questions about the church's history, doctrine, and practices. She ended up losing her family and her church. Just a couple of years ago, Carrie became a follower of Jesus Christ. Her conversion came after she had achieved enormous success as a columnist and a broadcaster who founded Bold TV. Carrie has testified before Congress, has had profiles in the Wall Street Journal, Forbes magazine, Entrepreneur magazine, and other national outlets. Join me in welcoming Carrie Sheffield to the Be the People Show. I'm so delighted to have you as a guest.
Thank you, Carol, for having me. I am such a big fan of your work. I've been following your work for many years in the Wall Street Journal and elsewhere, and I so admire you, and thank you so much for having me.
As you know, we met just a couple of weeks ago. You have been doing exciting things for many years for a person as young as you are, and what struck me about you was when we gave our introductions and you mentioned just some of the turmoil and pain that you experienced in your young life and young adulthood and how you've had to walk out a lot of things alone. And so, Carrie, would you share with my audience what you experienced as a child that caused you to question the beliefs of your ancestors and your parents?
Well, I would say one small correction, which is that I was never alone. I was with God. God was with me. And it took a long time for me to figure that out.
Amen. Correction noted.
But as far as having earthly adults, mentors who understood my walk, there were many times when I didn't know where to turn. And so I certainly made a lot of mistakes. But I was raised in an extreme fundamentalist Mormon family. My father believes he's a prophet sent by God to save America from destruction. He is much more fundamentalist than your average, as I like to call it, Mitt Romney Mormon. So there's the mainstream church that's based in Salt Lake City, and there are many offshoots, some more extreme, some more liberal, within the Mormon strain of religion. And so my parents became so extreme, actually, that when I, after I'd already left home many years later, they were actually excommunicated by the Mitt Romney mainstream church for being too zealous.
But now let me stop you right there, Carrie, because when I had my Christian conversion experience in 1999, I became a devout believer, and I was saved in a religion that would be described as fundamentalist. And for them, it meant pretty much that they were Bible-believing Christians, that they believe the Bible is the literal word of God, and they try to follow it as closely as possible. Is that the type of fundamentalism that you saw at home?
I would say that it's a different type of fundamentalism than Mormonism. There's a famous fundamentalist Mormon named Warren Jeffs. He created the Fundamentalist Latter-day Saint Church. It's called FLDS. He's far more extreme. He calls himself a mouthpiece for God, a prophet. But within the Mormon strain of religion, to be a fundamentalist generally means that you are a far more controlling. Very often they do not treat women well. They treat them second class, which I would argue is the way that I was raised, second class to my five brothers. They tend to view themselves as speaking for God instead of allowing everyone to hear from God in terms of having freedom or the ability to sense God in their lives. And I would also say a very big difference for Mormon fundamentalists is that the look at their fruits. I mean, you mentioned the hypocrisy that a lot of young people see between people's espoused doctrines and their lives. And I would see the fruits of my dad's life and the abuse that he allowed into our home, the abuse that he brought upon us. And those are not fruits of the Spirit. The fruits of the Spirit, as we know, are love, joy, patience, kindness, goodness, and self-control. I didn't see those manifest in my own father. And so that's how I define fundamentalist Mormon.
And tell me about your mother. Was she a happy camper?
Well, it's really interesting in talking to her sisters, because she was born into a family of all girls, six girls. And to talk to her sisters after I became an adult, they told me that basically when she married my father, that's when she became brainwashed. And she, before that, had been a very happy-go-lucky. She was always kind of shy, but she'd been a much more mainstream Mormon, not fundamentalist. But as soon as she married my dad, that all changed, and he took her away from her family, which is universal, I would say, for abusive men. When it comes to women, they often isolate them from their networks of support. So it took my mother and took her 2,000 miles away to the East Coast and isolated her, and eventually turned her against her own family, to the point that she didn't even attend her own mother's funeral because she said that her mother was too sinful by not being devout enough.
And let me ask you this about your family. Do you have a relationship with your siblings? And do you believe, you know, now as a Christian believer, and we will get into details later about your conversion experience, do you believe that there's any reconciliation possible between you and your family?
Well, Carol, it's very interesting that you say that, because this is literally unfolding in real time now. I'm 36 years old, and I just this year, the past year, and just the past 2 years, have been able to forgive my father. He basically raised us in third world conditions while living in a first world country. So as part of his quote-unquote prophetic mission, he had us live in trailer parks and sheds and tents and a motorhome. I spent a lot of my childhood living in a motorhome with 10 people, very crowded, unsanitary. My brother, Gregory, he was born while our family lived in a tent. We were staying in a campground. So we had a lot of deprivation. We had a lot of abuse. We had a lot of isolation. I attended 17 public schools and homeschool. Eventually, two of my brothers developed schizophrenia, I believe in part because of the extreme stress that we were placed under. There's a debate within medicine about schizophrenia and whether it's nature versus nurture in terms of manifestations of schizophrenia. And the experts usually say that it's usually somewhere along the line of both, that both factors can shape you genetically, but also your environment. And I do believe that our stressful, incredibly toxic environment contributed to their mental decline. But despite all of that, and despite sexual abuse from one of my schizophrenic brothers, and also the other schizophrenic brother claiming that I was trying to seduce him to rape me, and then my dad saying, yes, you're dressed like a slut, you were provoking him. All these sort of horrible things that were pronounced over my head, and my dad saying in the name of Jesus that I would be raped and murdered if I left home.
Oh, I'm so sorry to hear that you have had that just even spoken out. And it's something that, as believers, those words have no power over you or over your life. We would view that as a curse. And we know that the blood of Jesus and the power of Jesus breaks all curses. And so I'm just so glad that you are now surrounded by people who love you, and that you're such a strong woman. And when we return from break, I want you to talk a little bit about college and just some of your amazing achievements before we get into your Christian testimony. We'll be back in a moment.
Each week, the Be the People show presents interviews with insightful guests from the world of politics, religion, media, and culture. The Be the People show is on podcast. It offers bonus footage. To listen to Be the People online, go to the BeThePeopleNews.com website and subscribe to the Be the People podcast, heard also on the America Out Loud Network.
Spreading the out loud truth from sea to shining sea. AmericaOutloud.com is the voice of liberty and justice for all. The goal is to deliver a message of truth, inspiration, and hope to the world, to unite people from all backgrounds and beliefs in an effort to advance humanity. We are the vision of the voices. Welcome to the new era in communications, America Out Loud Talk Radio.
I'm back with my guest, Carrie Sheffield, and we're talking about some very deep, religious, disturbing topics, but it all has a happy ending. And so, Carrie, you've been through a lot as a young woman, and I love you as a sister in Christ and also as a mother, and you're going to have many mothers, you know, to fill the gap. We never outgrow the need for a mother. Would you share with our audience, you went to college and you were very successful at college. So just a little bit about what that was like.
Sure. Well, thank you, Carol. And I love you too. And I'm so blessed to have you in my life. But as far as, and what you said earlier before the break, actually, about curses and when someone uses God's name and the name of Jesus to speak curses over you, it took me a long time to figure out that I had the power to break that intergenerational curse, that was actually not God's will. First I went through a period right after college where I didn't even believe in God necessarily. I wasn't an atheist. I thought that was too dogmatic, but I was agnostic. And I just believed that it seemed to me from a humanitarian or a sociological standpoint that religion was just something that humans made up. And so the concept of a curse, I didn't necessarily believe, even though when I had first left home, I was very shaken by the things that my father had said. And I went to college at the Mormon College out at Brigham Young University. And at the time, I was still Mormon. I had left the fundamentalist environment of my home, where I was raised. And by making that choice, my father said to me, if you leave this prophetic mission, because by that point he had said that our whole family was supposed to be on this mission together.
You are on a mission, but it's not the same one as your family. And so you're very much a woman that's called to do great things far beyond what you've already done. And I'm speaking a prophetic word.
Well, I look at your fruit and I see the fruit of your life, and I can see the truth in your words. So that means a lot to me. But as far as my dad's belief in the mission and looking at his fruits, I didn't believe that those were fruits from God and from the Holy Spirit. And so I went to the Mormon College, and he said, if you leave, then you can't come home. You're not allowed to come home. And so all through college, I was not allowed to go home for any summer breaks or for any Christmas breaks or anything like that, because my dad said that I was full of Satan and I would contaminate my 7 siblings and turn them against the family's prophetic mission. And so I was not allowed home because I was told that I was full of Satan. And so
most colleges are not set up to accommodate young people during the breaks. Everything shuts down, even the cafeteria.
Well, the thing about the BYU campus is they actually, they're they're quite a bit more efficient than your average campus, and I do give them credit. Not only do they have lower prices, if you're a Mormon, the price of Brigham Young University is actually quite affordable. But they also have, not only do they have your fall and your spring term, they call it fall, winter, spring, and summer. They actually have four terms all year round. So you actually could go to college all four seasons. And so I did that for part of college, but I did five internships, various journalism internships. I worked for the student newspaper. I was very active in my journalism, and I took something, the Bible says we can take a weakness and turn it into a strength. That's exactly what I did. And any of your viewers, especially young people who are feeling discouraged, I think I would say to them, there's always a way, and where there's a will, there's a way. That sounds cliche, but it's true. And I took that weakness that I wasn't allowed home. Like for a while, sometimes now and then, I would feel jealous of my roommates or friends. They would go home for college breaks. They would go home for the summer. And eventually I would say, well, they're going to go home, cuddle with their teddy bears. They're going to go home to mama's house. And I'm going to go do an internship. I'm going to go to New York City. I'm going to go do an internship in North Carolina. I'm going to go to London. I did a study abroad in London for one spring semester, And so I was able to take that pain and turn it into an opportunity to advance my professional career. And by the time I graduated, like I said, I had had five journalism internships and was able to land a full-time job at the Hill newspaper in Washington, D.C. And from there, I was in D.C. as a journalist for 3 years. And then I went to Harvard on a full journalism scholarship. I went to work in finance at Goldman Sachs and at Moody's in New York City. And from there, I had that experience of both journalism and finance, and I was able to start a business.
And tell us about Bold TV.
So Bold TV is a digital TV network. If anyone wants to check out the website, it's bold.global. There's no .com in there. It's just bold.global. And they have three content verticals, Bold Politics, Bold Business, and Bold Lifestyle. I ran it for about 4 years. We built it from the ground up, from scratch, and just sold it to Bernie Marcus. He's the co-founder of Home Depot, and they are working on a strategy right now to take it to the next level, which is very exciting. But we had many, many different conversations, especially the show that I hosted, Bold Politics, where we dialogued across the aisle. And I met some amazing people through Bold TV, and it was actually eventually how I became a Christian was through the people that I met.
That is such a story. Well, we're going to take another break. And when we return, I'd like for you to tell us more about how you became a Christian, because as Christians that are called to make disciples, a lot of us are uncomfortable when it comes to evangelizing, and we don't know how to start the conversation, or does the friendship come first and then the conversation, or how do you do it? And maybe you can give us some insights.
You're listening to Be the People. Dr. Carol Swain is the mind behind Be the People News, radio, podcast, and YouTube. Be the People's mission is dedicated to empowering individuals to think independently, understand their responsibility, and believe in their unique ability to make a difference in the world. Check out Carol's work at BeThePeopleNews.com. To invite Carol to be your next keynote speaker, go to BeThePeopleNews.com. That's BeThePeopleNews.com.
We are in a cultural war where liberals are targeting our children. Dr. Carol Swain and Steve Beasel have teamed up to co-author the book, Abduction: How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds. They expose how liberals are using the entertainment industry and our public school system to indoctrinate our children. The book provides practical steps which you can take to push back. Get your copy of Abduction: How Liberalism Steals Our Children's Hearts and Minds on Amazon. Fight back against the brainwashing of our children.
I'm back with my guest, Carrie Sheffield. And Carrie has been telling us all about her amazing story. And Carrie, who was it, if you can share a name, and you don't have to share names, because usually there are a lot of people involved in a person's life before they actually become a follower of Jesus. So was it the personal relationships, or Was it just your the intellectual part of you in a similar way, like C.S. Lewis, you know, the rational science, it all came together? Because I know as a young person, you were like me, you were a seeker, you questioned everything. And I went through a period too in my life when I was an agnostic. And so you probably didn't know we shared that in common. So I was a late comer to Christ. But for you, what was the turning point?
Sure. So I think it was probably a bit of all of the above that you just cited in terms of my influences. I think as it relates to evangelizing and someone, you know, directly trying to either confront me or directly try to convert me, I would have been very off put by that, because within Mormonism, they do have a very, very strong missionary component.
I know.
Yep. I'm sure your listeners have seen there's tens of thousands of missionaries all over the world.
And they're always well-dressed. They're always well-dressed and mannable. Is that right? Yes.
Yes. Well, and that's part of the standard uniform. They've got to, it's like the military. It's got to be certain, standards. But so I was, in fact, they say a phrase within Mormonism, they say every member a missionary. So in that respect, I'm not, now that I am a believer, I'm not afraid to share my faith, but at the same time, having been an agnostic and seeing the hypocrisy between the way some people preach and the way they live, the part of me is reluctant to evangelize. I am inspired by a quote from St. Francis of Assisi. He said that we should preach the gospel at all times, and when necessary, use words.
All right.
Such a powerful quote.
It is.
And one life that really influenced me was the life of Dr. Martin Luther King, in terms of him being a Christian minister. I found that to be very compelling from just the quote that he would talk about the arc of the moral universe and the spiritual and moral authority that he spoke with as it relates to removing the sins of Jim Crow and segregation. And of course, we know he was doing other things in his private life that were certainly not godly, but as it relates to his calling in that area of civil rights, I was so struck by how he spoke with such moral authority, and I wanted to learn more about that. But one thing that also was a big influence on my life was the work of Deepak Chopra, which I know.
And he's not a Christian, right?
No, he's not. And I know sometimes some of my Christian friends get a little nervous when I say that name, because he's not a Christian and he's more in kind of this new age philosophy. But I think that was actually part of what drew me to him, was that I had been put off by, because not only did I see Mormon hypocrites, I also, after I left Mormonism, saw a fair number of Christian hypocrites in Washington, D.C. So that's part of what nudged me to be an agnostic. It wasn't.
Well, let me tell you too, that you and I share being seekers in common, because my journey took me through New Age and Eastern religions, and was all part of the progression towards Christ. And so you tell your testimony and you keep Deepak Chopra in it.
Thank you. No, exactly. And that's where I think that the level of judgment that I see so many self-described Christians, it's certainly counterproductive, let's just say it that way, as far as actually reaching people who might be persuaded. I just think of myself as, you know, how would agnostic Carrie approach what I'm saying right now, and my behavior, my message, how I'm living my life? And just learning more about Deepak, and I got to meet him through Bold TV, because we have a segment on there called Bold Soul. And that's where we bring on spiritual leaders, we bring on civic leaders. It's a broad encompassing term. It's not just spiritual, but it's also people, some who are secular or, you know, non-believers who are working in doing amazing work to help uplift people, remove barriers, achieve things despite the odds. So for this Bold Soul segment, we were talking with Deepak Chopra about his new book that was coming out. And so as part of preparing for the interview, I read his book. And the book was called You Are the Universe. And he had co-authored it with a PhD physicist from MIT. And that's such a, you know, a strong credential that I had to pay attention. Well, let me tell you, I was blown away by this book. It just laid out physics, and it laid out the laws of physics and things that I had known superficially or didn't even know as it relates to divine order and the perfect cosmological statistical improbability of Earth. The way things are so minutely, finely, perfectly aligned for us, that the probabilities of Earth being the way it is and you and I being at this velocity and this level of oxygen without our heads exploding, I mean, the probabilities of all this being by chance is so small. It would be as if a hurricane or tornado went through a junkyard and by chance happened to produce a finely produced, crafted, perfectly balanced Boeing 747 aircraft.
It sounds like that's a good book for atheists.
Yes, it was great. I mean, it really, really opened my mind to God. And then it was through many other people that I met. One of them includes Michael Curry, who is the presiding bishop of the Episcopal Church. He was the one who gave that sermon at the royal wedding. I don't know if you watched that sermon, Carol, but it was a beautiful sermon about the power of love.
I did not hear that sermon. The most recent royal marriage?
Yes, the one with Meghan at the wedding itself. The wedding itself was beautiful, and he gave a sermon there. He's an African-American pastor from the...
I heard about that sermon. Yes, I did.
So one of the people who became one of my sponsors when I was baptized is a deputy for Michael Curry, and he works for him. And it was through him that I got to know Michael Curry before he did the royal wedding. And Michael Curry had written a book called Crazy Christians that my now godparent had written. And that book also influenced me as well, because he talked about his time growing up in upstate New York as a Black American. And when he would go to church, it was, and his parents actually, they were living pre-Civil Rights era. And they would go to church and they would get communion. And they were not treated any differently. There was no colored communion. There was no white communion. They were all equal under the eyes of God. And this was before the armed forces had been desegregated. This was before Brown v. Board of Education. And he was just blown away with how the church was more forward-looking as it relates to race relations. And that's all in the Bible. You know, there is no race in the eyes of God. And so he became a Christian. He became, his father became baptized in the Episcopal Church. And then he grew up to become the entire head of the Global Episcopal Church. And I was blessed to get to know him through, as I said, a divine appointment where I met his deputy.
That's so amazing, because usually when I think of Episcopalians, they tend to be, they're the opposite of Bible-believing Christians in the United States. They tend to be the most liberal of Christians, if you want to call them Christians. I guess I'm being very judgmental, so we probably should move on.
I want to address that, actually, because, again, that was, for me, that was what I needed. That was the milk before the meat that I needed.
Oh, I understand. God has such a, you've been on such a journey, and my life is such a journey, and it has so many twists and turns and unlikely things. And you know, someday I share my full journey, and you're going to share your full journey. And people need to know that it's not black or white. You know, I was born in a church. I got saved when I was 5 and been a Christian for 60 years. You know, it's more complicated than that for a lot of us.
Amen. So, yes, I went from Mormon to agnostic to... I was very much also into Stoicism, which I can get into later, but it's...
Just say a couple of words about it so the people won't be left hanging. Stoicism.
So Stoicism, and the thing is, you could be a Stoic Christian, you could be a Stoic Buddhist, you can... It's not a religion, it's really a philosophy. And in fact, it's actually mentioned in the Bible when Paul is preaching to the Greeks, because he mentions the Stoics, because they were... When he mentions the sign to the unknown God... he was talking to the Stoics. He mentioned
the one God, many past people.
Yes, yes. And Stoicism was a very popular school of philosophy to the ancient Greeks. It was founded 200 BC, which I took pride in that it was older than Christianity at the time. And the most popular or famous Stoic that your viewers might have heard of is Marcus Aurelius. He was the emperor in that movie Gladiator. But it's basically the thinking that your choices, emotions, are choices, and that your life needs to be built around virtue. And you choose your emotional reaction to the circumstances around you. That life is, as they say, 10% of what happens to you and 90% of how you react to it. And that the core of your life needed to be virtue. And the core virtues of Stoicism are courage, temperance, justice, and wisdom. So in the morning, I would wake up and I would meditate on how can I incorporate these four cardinal virtues into my life. And that became my replacement for Mormonism until I found God and then I found Christ. And let me tell you, Stoicism was not enough. As much as I had told myself for several years that it was, things kept happening that led me to believe that this was not the case.
So what was the turning point moment? And we're getting near the close of this interview. So tell us, what was the turning point? At which point did you know that Jesus Christ was real and you wanted him in your life and you invited him into your heart?
Well, it was interesting because when I started Bold TV, I put everything into it. I cashed out all of my savings, all of my retirement. I put everything into it. I put my heart, my soul, my money, where my treasure was, that's where my heart was too. And I had a moment where the company almost collapsed. And I had just that year prior started to go back to church. And part of why I was going to church actually was I had looked at a study, I believe it was in The Atlantic, that they had reported about showing how, with the exception of LGBT issues, so secular conservatives are more tolerant as relates to LGBT issues. But in every other area, as relates to women, people of color, immigrants, people who are different, disabilities, religious conservatives are actually much more tolerant than secular conservatives in these other areas.
And they're more generous when it comes to giving them resources to support the poor.
Yes, they are. They are. And so I did some soul searching. Like I said, I'm a deep pocket. And so it was all these forces of saying, well, how do I want to live my life? Do I want to hang around and rub shoulders with people who are less tolerant of their fellow man? And I said, no, that's not how I want to live my life. And then, like I said, when the company was going through a lot of financial challenges, I just realized I had to release it and I had to surrender. And I gave it to God. And that was when I realized that, this is something that I can't control. I can't control. There's so many things. I mean, that's what the Bible says over and over. We can't control things and we shouldn't even try. We shouldn't worry ourselves sick with trying. And I just committed it to my entire life. Everything that I had dedicated, I committed it to him. And that's when I knew.
And that part of your company had a very successful ending because you have been featured, as a successful entrepreneur. And I know you have sold Bold TV to the founder or owner of Home Depot. Are you still involved at any level?
It was about 2 years after that point that I just exited in December. And the founders are figuring out their strategy. I'm still friends with them. I still have a lot of people who I recommend as guests go in there. In fact, Carol, you'd be an excellent guest for Bold TV. But I'm not involved in the day-to-day. And you and I have talked a little bit that instead right now I'm working on an autobiography. And so that's really where I'm focusing my attention. And in some respects, I feel like the Bible said, whoever will lose themselves will find themselves. And before I started Bold TV, I was already planning to write an autobiography of my life. And
it would have been very deficient, right? Because your life gets so more interesting after and during the process of Bold TV.
I found Christ through Bold TV. And so at the time, my agent and I were just debating in 2015, should I write the book or should I start the company? And we both decided the company would be a better launch pad and it would be too much work to try to do both. And so I put the book aside and started Bold. And what's funny is flash forward to 2018, there was a book that came out called Educated. And it's about a woman named Tara Westover. And she was raised in a fundamentalist Mormon family and put herself through college and was able to get a PhD from Cambridge University. And her book came out in 2018 and spent 75 weeks on the New York Times bestseller list, and longer than Michelle Obama's book. And Michelle Obama, in fact, endorsed Tara Westover's book, along with Barack Obama endorsed Tara Westover's book. And I met Tara Westover and I said to her, you basically wrote the book that I was going to write in 2015, where I was, which is that she's still an agnostic. But the story that in the book I'm going to write is going to have a very different ending. And the title, the working title, I dusted off my manuscript. I had written about 30 pages in 2015. My title back then was going to be something like The Heathen Next Door, How I Left Fundamentalist Mormonism and Became a Happy Stoic, something like that. So basically how I became a pagan by rejecting Mormonism and became happy. And now I feel like I have found myself by losing myself, by throwing everything into my company, losing everything, then I found everything.
And so what's your new working title?
Well, I have not even mentioned this, Carol, so this will be breaking news to your audience. And I'm actually open to suggestions, but I was actually thinking of calling it Bold Soul.
Oh, I like it. It depends on the subtitle, though.
Yeah, we'll work on that. I'd love your ideas, Carol.
Well, Carrie, thank you so much for being my guest on the Be the People show. And I'm going to continue praying for you and being a Christian sister to you. And I'd encourage my audience to write your name on the prayer list and to lift you up and the book that you're writing and all the great things you're doing in the world. And we don't have time to go into detail, but Carrie and I are working on a project that's going to be launched soon. And so we have lots of things that we plan to do to help change the world. And so we need your prayers, your support. And as I always say, it's up to us, the we the people in the preamble of the Constitution, to stand up and be the people who change our nation and our world, and we can also change individual lives. So thank you, Carrie, and God bless until we see each other again.